once more when it does. It will even up the score, don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone. And the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, and folks, that wheel has rolled around again. Here it is, time for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It's Saturday morning, August 12th, 2017, and we welcome you to the program. Welcome to coffee. We thank you for joining us, and we'll bring the guys up. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And I think John came on. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. And again, we say good morning to you, the remnant. Thanks for joining us, but we'll open up with prayer. Jason, would you open us up with prayer this morning?
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask for your blessing upon this program this morning. We pray that you lead us, guide us, and direct us in all that we do, Father. We cry out for our country, our nation, for our people, Father, and we just ask, Father, that you look down upon those that are yours, Father, those that are bought and paid for with your blood, Father, those that wear your brand, those that serve you, Father. We pray, Father, for them in these times, that you see to it that their cup overflows with blessings from your throne, that you protect them, that you guide them, that you direct them, that you put a hedge of protection around them, a shield of light, that no evil can penetrate. We pray, Father, that as we're living in these perilous times, that you give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and that you just train our hands for battle, for this battle that is before us, Father. We know that there's spiritual battles taking place. We also know that there's physical battles taking place, Father, and we pray that you protect us in both of them, that you prepare us for both of them, Father. And we thank you for that. And we thank you for all that you give us each and every day and for all the blessings that you bestow upon us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
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 Hallelujah. Well, again, folks, good morning. Thanks for joining us. And beautiful day here at the Radio Ranch, still in kind of a wet pattern. But, hey, that's all right. Summertime. And we sure used to have that down in Florida. You'd think Florida would be all sunny in the summer, but lots of rain, and boy, New Orleans is getting rain. They're flooding out again without a hurricane. Maybe we'll get to that today. Might be something we could talk about this morning. wanted to kind of start off. If you have our Bible reading plan, you see it's Psalms 102, 103, and 104 is today. And the thought occurred to me, you know, on our sermon that we had from the church, I think we played the Kate Smith song, God Bless America. And a song that debuted during World War II, and many people have heard it, and it is a prayer, God Bless America, and you hear it a lot, politician speech, different times. But Psalms 103 turns that around and says, America, bless God. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. And that puts that responsibility, folks, back on us. Back on us. Not just to do whatever we want to do and live however we want to live and expect God to pour out his blessings upon us. But this turns this around, the psalmist writes, and he puts it on us, that we are to bless God. We are to, as it says it again in Psalms 104, bless the Lord, O my soul. And so I encourage you folks, if you haven't read it, if you haven't read this today, read this after the program, Psalms 102, 103, 104, and see how sometimes we have things turned around today. And nothing wrong with praying, God bless America. And nothing wrong with asking that and being sincere about that. But I just can't help but think that God sits in the heavens and says, well, I'll bless you, but how about you bless me? And the Psalms tells us that. Anyway. Well, guys, how are things down in sunny Colorado?
Hadn't been too sunny.
Oh, man.
No, it's interesting. I mean, we've had floods down here. We've had flash floods. We've had hailstorms. You know, talk about the way God can deliver, too. It's, where this last week, within the last couple of days, we had a hailstorm that came through that, I mean, did millions and millions of dollars worth of damage. Came through here, and my driveway looked like it snowed. All up and down the street that I live on, it looked like it snowed. There was places that there was 6 inches of standing hail. You got up just north of us a little bit, they had 8 inches of standing hail. It was something like I'd just never seen that much hail at one time cover that large of an area. Heard the alerts that came on the radio, and you know, you hear that, and so much of the time you hear something like that, and then you know it's you're never anywhere close to where it is. And they came on and were having the alerts on the radio. And about 2 minutes, I was driving down the road, and about 2 minutes later, all of a sudden, I was just right in the middle of it. And talk about just loud, noisy, and how fast everything could change. Everything was blowing sideways. There was dumpsters being blown around, trash cans being blown all over the place. Hail was coming down basically completely sideways, and so much noise you couldn't even hear anything. I mean, it was just racket. It sounded like gunshots going off just all around, everywhere. And
yeah, before that hit, it was literally like a typhoon. I mean, like you said, Richard, in Florida, I've seen, you know, when they get down, a downpour, it's a typhoon. There's a wall of water and you can't see, you know,
yes,
20 feet in front of you. And that's what it was. And I don't know that I've ever seen that in Colorado, but I'll let Jason finish and then I can share some things as well.
Yeah, it was interesting because, you know, as that hit and as it came through, it was just bizarre. I mean, it went from being raining a little bit to back out to sunny to this hitting just out of absolutely nowhere, not forecasted. And, you know, shredded trees just made a mess of everything. you know, there's probably a mile and a half wide stretch that was probably a mile and a half to 2.5 miles wide, and, you know, it went straight through the middle of town, and just kept going. Cornfields got destroyed, you know, just down the road from us, you know, talking about how God can deliver. It's like we had it, and we lost some trees, we got everything covered in leaves, everything was a mess, you know, and there's some water damage. But, you know, no vehicles' windows got broke, no hail damage on any vehicles. And why at the same time, our neighbors, all their vehicles got totaled, and their windshields were broke out. Every window in their vehicles were broke out. And, you know, you're talking about, you know, something that's a couple hundred yards away. And, you know, I just thought that it's interesting. You know, you hear, we read in scriptures about times, there's going to be times where you go inside and you close the door. And, you know, it's as we see these things, and as we see, you know, with what's going on in the news, you know, you're talking about North Korea bomb in Denver. You're talking about wars. You're talking about nuclear war. We're talking about hailstorms. We're talking about, you know, trials and tribulations. And it just, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, how would a person live without faith? And, you know, I've been talking to a lot of people that way. It's like it'd be a tough time to live in if you did not have faith.
Amen.
Amen.
But
yeah, we were.
The storm was just amazing. It was like when I came home. I mean, me and Johnson Levi were out here. We had just got, and that's what he was been over here the week before, just cleaning stuff up outside, making it look nice, and raking and mowing, and we just went outside, and after the storm went through, it was just, there was a fog, because there was so much ice on the ground, and the temperature was so warm, it just put fog everywhere, and we just went out and just stood there and just looked at it, and it was like, it was almost unbelievable to see what had happened in the course of, you know, 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah, I was working over at a new stadium there, and when that storm came through, I'm watching the rain come down in litter, you know, in a sheet, and you couldn't see the parking lot, you know, 50 feet away, and I'm watching down the main drag there where all of the storm sewers are and stuff, and these storm sewers in the middle of the road were just spewing water, you know, 5 feet in the air like a geyser. And I thought, uh-oh, that's not good. And I don't know, 10 minutes later, one of the electricians working on the job sent a video, and any drain in the basement that was tied to the storm sewer system, I mean, keep in mind, this is a brand-new $250 million stadium. Any drain that in the basement that was tied to the storm system was just 4 or 5 foot geysers pouring water into the basement, all finished, and I can't imagine the damage that was done by that. But it's just, I think, another example of man thinks that he can plan for all of these disasters. You know, I know that the insurance companies in Colorado are starting to cry uncle. They're not crying out to God. They're crying uncle that they need more money from the people to cover all of these losses, because, I mean, 10 years ago, you might have heard of hail every couple of years, and most of the time it was pea-sized hail, and it didn't do any damage. But it seems to me about every year these days we have at least one hailstorm that caused significant damage in some part of Colorado.
Yeah, and the vehicle damage, you see more and more of the hail-damaged vehicles, and you hear about the sales on the radio, and you see the flyers and in the paper that comes out that it just is more and more, because they have more and more of it. And you know, it's not just in Colorado. Right now, here we are in hurricane season, middle of summer, hurricane season. Florida had a little tropical depression, I think, that skirted it not too long ago and brought some big rain there. But New Orleans got hit by Katrina 10 years ago. Their governor declared a state of emergency on Thursday because they basically have rain showers. No tropical storm, no tropical depression, just rain and the threat of more rain. But what has happened, and if you can just imagine the people that are working for the city and for the areas there in New Orleans, because they can't keep their pumps running. They have about 120 pumps that, you know, New Orleans is basically below sea level with dikes and levees built around it. So they continually have to be pumping water to, you know, keep the place dry. Well, when it rains, they have, according to some news reports, you know, normally they'll get, even if they get a couple inches an hour, they have pumps that 24 different pumping stations around the town, around the city, that pump that water back out. Now, this is in addition to the, you know, the $15 million worth of upgrades that the Army Corps of Engineers done in the last 10 years since Katrina. But it's just what the city has. 24 pumping stations and a total of 121 pumps that they keep running, or supposed to keep the city dry. And so they got a little deluge this week. They got 9.5 inches of rain in 3 hours. And there's that sheet of water you're talking about, John, that just, you know, comes down. And not in a hurricane, not in a tropical storm, just in an afternoon. And it flooded out parts of the city. Not just the lower Ninth Ward that got hit so bad in Katrina, but areas. There were time-lapse videos that were, a person emailed me from like a security camera off somebody's front porch. And in the course of about 4 hours, you see just a little bit of rain come, and then none, and then here comes the rain again, and the road just floods. And cars are driving by, and it's washing water all up, and then the yards flood. You see just the debris and the muck that's floating around in that water, because that's not clean water, folks, you know, when it comes up out of the drain system like that. And then about 4 hours later, it was back down to normal. And it just, the thought occurred to me that same thing, yeah, like you said, Jason, there's times you just have to go into you're told just enter your room and close the door, because even with all that man has done, all that we have done, the levees and the flood protection and the pumps, and it just takes a little moving of the pinky of God, and all that is for naught. We drove up to Lyons, Colorado, yesterday evening, and got to see where some of the river had flooded. Not even the Big Thompson, but we were going up the side of a mountain, just up a little tiny stream. And my children were asking, well, Dad, why is this dirt road? And then we're on paved road. And then it's dirt road, then it's paved road. And it's where, when they had those big floods, what was that, last year or the year before, that washed all those homes
out? That was a couple years ago.
Yeah. And they've rebuilt some of the roads, haven't repaved them. But to see... the amount of water that had to come down through there that just washes roads away. And we're seeing that in New Orleans again, not because of a hurricane, not because of a storm, just little summer storm. And it lets you know just how fragile this land that we live in is. How fragile it is, and really how we need to be, like Psalms 103 says, blessing the Lord. We ask Him to bless us. Well, we need to turn that around and bless Him as well, so that works both ways, so we can be safe and be saved from these things when they happen.
Yeah, I don't know if you drove all the way up to Estes Park, but you know, they had the road, Highway 34, closed for, man, I don't know, probably 9 months to almost a year right after that flood. But once they got done with the emergency repairs, they basically monopolized all of the concrete companies down here in the lower cities to making nothing but flow fill to try to pour a substrate that they could at least patch the roads going up there. And then it's been shut down. They opened it, you know, for 6 months or so. I think it's almost been 3 years since that flood hit, but time's going so fast it's hard to even remember. But I remember driving up there the first time when they opened the road, and the landscape had literally changed.
Yes.
You know, having lived here for quite a few years, driving up, you know, you remember how it was. It was a narrow canyon, and there was houses on both sides. And that flood, when it hit, it's a wide canyon now. And a lot of the houses that used to be there are no longer there. And I remember, at least when I drove up there the first time they opened it, there were houses that were hanging off the cliffs. And but a lot of those people, you know, they don't have flood insurance, and they won't be able to rebuild. And some of them, the land that they had their homes on isn't even there anymore. But just the utter devastation driving up that canyon. I don't know, did you drive up that canyon and see the difference in the landscape, Jason?
Oh, yeah. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing.
Yeah. It's almost hard to describe. You know, you have to see it and have to have seen it before that flood hit. But, you know, it's the birth pangs. We're witnessing the birth pangs that are coming closer and closer. And then the other thing that's significant is this eclipse that's to happen on August 21st, which is a week from Monday. And I think I was reading some interesting points regarding that as well. It begins in Oregon, and it's ending in South Carolina. So, incredibly, the eclipse will actually begin as soon as the sun rises on the west coast. So the sun will appear to rise in the east. When I guess the sun appears to rise in the east and set in the west, but the eclipse travels in the opposite direction. So in other words, people will witness a black sun rising over the United States. And then I think people have missed this too, but maybe you pointed this out as well in the article in the newsletter. But it's also been noted that another total eclipse will cross the United States in the opposite angle 7 years later in 2024. So essentially it's making an X in the middle of the United States.
Yes. Yeah, folks, if you got your Dragon Slayer newsletter, Volume 5, it's on. There's a little picture on page 13 that shows just what John is talking about. You know, there is one that goes from sea to shining sea. This one coming up a week from Monday from west to east. And then 7 years later, 7 years. We've never read anything about 7 years in the Bible. But 7 years later, another one coming.
Somewhere in Daniel it talks about that.
Yeah. Yeah, and Ezekiel and all over it does. And and back in Genesis as well with Joseph and Pharaoh in Egypt. And but this second 7 years later, this second eclipse comes from the southwest to the northeast. And yeah, you look at it and the path just puts a big old X, like you got a big Sharpie marker and just drew an X on something. But the X is on our nation. And it's signs.
These are some significant, these are some interesting facts, too, that I was reading about. The August eclipse occurs exactly 33 days before the Revelation 12 sign, which I know you talk about in the article as well, beginning in the 33rd state, Oregon, and ending in South Carolina at the 33rd parallel. And I haven't verified all these details, but they say that they have. So, and then it's been 99 years since this full eclipse has happened in the United States, which is obviously a divider of 3 times 33. And then if you read in Ezekiel 33, it says, "The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, speak to your people and say to them, when I bring the sword against the land, and the people of the land choose one of their men and make him their watchman, and he sees the sword coming against the land and blows the trumpet to warn the people, then if anyone hears the trumpet but does not heed the warning, and the sword comes and takes their life, their blood will be on their own head, since they heard the sound of the trumpet and did not heed the warning. Their blood will be on their own head. If they had heeded the warning, they would have saved themselves. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet to warn the people, and the sword comes and takes someone's life, the person's life will be taken. That person's life will be taken because of their sin. But I will hold the watchman accountable for their blood.
Amen. Amen. And you know, that's what this ministry's done, is done its best to be that watchman. That's what our pastor was, one of many things. But a watchman on the wall, and he put the warnings out. He put the warnings out. Don't think you're born again by raising your hand in the back of the church. We don't read that in the Bible. That's a tradition of man. That was a warning that he put out. Don't think that these people, that just because they call themselves God's chosen people, you know, let's look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, judge them by their fruits. Judge each and every one of us by our fruits. When you judge those people that are of Revelation 2:9 and 3:9, you see that they do not have good, lasting Christian fruits. And that was a warning. And just a couple of many. And folks, the warnings still go out. The warnings still go out. You read in Luke about wars and disturbances, and you read in Matthew, I think, 24, you know, when you hear wars about wars and rumors of wars. Well, we're hearing about that again today. And the warnings have been put out for that as well. And I like how you said it, Jason. How do people live without faith? How do people live without trusting that God will see us and see them through these times? I don't know how they do.
Yeah, how do you live without the blood of Jesus, the cleansing blood and the protecting blood? I mean, there's example after example of nothing but the blood.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
So when we plead the blood of Jesus over ourselves and our families and all that the Lord's blessed us with, I don't think the enemy can take it.
Amen.
I think God's given us that promise. That doesn't mean that we're not going to experience loss in other ways, and maybe it is in financial or physical ways, but we know that blood of Jesus is protecting us and our loved ones, but everything else is just stuff.
Amen.
These are some other significant points that I was reading, and I don't remember if you brought these out as well, but the first major city that will witness the eclipse in Oregon is Oregon State Capitol, Salem. Salem, of course, is the shortened version of Jerusalem, which is the most prophetically significant city in the Bible. Jerusalem was originally called Salem in the days of Melchizedek in Genesis 14:18. And then it says, another interesting thing is that the closest road to the exact point where the two eclipses cross is Salem Road in Macanda, Illinois. So what's the chances of that? After crossing Salem, Oregon, the path of totality then crosses Madras, which means Mother of God, reminiscent of the Revelation 12 woman. Then it crosses the city of John Day, which of course reminds us of the Apostle John, who recorded the book of Revelation and described to us the day of the Lord. After that, it crosses Weiser, Idaho, which is German for wise man. The wise men from the east were those who were watching the signs in the heavens when Jesus Christ was born. They followed his star and found the exact place where he was born. Likewise, we see another sign in the heavens pointing to the nearness of Jesus' return, then the path then points us to John, again, as it passes over Grand Jean, which is French for big or tall John. It then crosses Stanley, which means stone clearing, references Psalms 118:22 and 1 Peter 2, 4 through 7, and then goes through Mackay, which means son of fire, referencing John 4:15 and Revelation 1:14, as well as Revelation 19:12 and Daniel 10:6. Then it goes through Rexburg, city of the king, then through Victor. Anyways, it goes on and on and on, and then it says it moves through Alliance, Nebraska. An alliance is a union of multiple parties. The church is soon to be brought into eternal alliance with Christ when the body is joined with the head. Likewise, down on earth, satanic alliance will soon be forming in the form of the ten horns, Revelation 17:12. So, yeah, it's just, I don't know that you could say that all of these things are coincidence. In fact, I would say that they're not.
No, not at all. God sends his signs. He always has. You know, we're reminded of the words of Christ when he said, you know, it's a wicked and perverse generation that seeks signs, that asks for signs. And he gave that to the people that had seen his signs before, that had seen his attesting miracles, and they didn't believe. And so there's those that will continue to see these signs and not believe, but... You know, but God warns. He sends his signs. He sends his warnings. I think that's what this is. This eclipse, this double eclipse, you look at it, this eclipse going through, like you said, John, these towns, these cities that when you look into the name and the founding of them, what their basis is. And so here's this dark shadow that is rolling across from sea to shining sea. And I think that it is a warning from him. And then followed, like you said, 33 days later, by this Revelation 12:1, alignment of the stars, the retelling, or a telling of the birth of Christ in the heavens. You know, just 33 days later, and his son was here on the earth 33 years. Yeah, for people that have eyes to see, it is a warning. I think it is whether it's a final call or not, it's a call. I think it's a call for people to repent, and a call for people to go back and see. They can see the story of Christ's birth being played out in the heavens, but even better yet, they can go and read about it in his scriptures. You don't have to, that doesn't mean, folks, oh, well, you go to church on Christmas morning and you hear and you see the little manger scene, and you know, that's not what it's talking about. No, it's talking about you, as Psalms 103 says, blessing God. Well, how do you bless it? Well, you learn who he is, and you do what he says, and you repent. I thought it was go ahead.
There's quite a few significant Bible verses that are relevant regarding the eclipse. Isaiah 13:10 says, "For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not flash forth their light. The sun will be dark when it rises, and the moon will not shed its light." Ezekiel 32:7 says, "And when I extinguish you, I will cover the heavens and darken their stars, and I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon will not give its light." Joel 2:10 says, "Before them the earth quakes, the heavens tremble, the sun and the moon grow dark, and the stars lose their brightness." Joel 2:31, "The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord." Joel 3:15, "The sun and the moon grow dark, and the stars lose their brightness." Then in Matthew 24:29, "But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken." There's a couple other ones. Mark 13:24, "But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. Revelation 6:12. I looked when he broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth and of hair, and the whole moon became like blood. Well, we've already witnessed those blood moons. Brother Tim did an excellent article on the blood moons. And then the last one is Revelation 8:12. The four angels sounded, and a third of the sun and a third of the moon and a third of the stars was struck, so that a third of them would be darkened on that day. And the day would not shine for a third of it, and the night in the same way. That's just nine of the Bible verses related to eclipse.
Yeah, the word is clear. It's evident there. And so, you know, do you think we should be, folks, as if you're living your life right, if you are blessing God, as we read in Psalms, it's not a time of fear at all. It is a time of fear among the other nations, but it's not. Luke 21:9-13 tells about the wars and the disturbances, but it tells us, do not be terrified, for these things must take place. And it talks about that. Nation rising against nation. We're seeing that. Kingdom against kingdom. Earthquakes and plagues and famines. And it goes on and says terrors and great signs from heaven. Not just great signs like a road sign, but great signs from heaven. Then we read, but before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and will persecute you, delivering you to the synagogues and prisons, bringing you before kings and governors for my name's sake. And we are seeing that. We are seeing that describes a persecution coming before the kings and the governors. That means coming before the law, the law of the land. And we are seeing that persecution of Christians. And then verse 13. It will lead to an opportunity for your testimony. And so when I think that's one big thing to get out of this, is that when we see these signs, that we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. We need to have our testimony ready, because it leads, according to the word, which is truth, it leads to an opportunity for our testimony. And of course, our testimony is part of how we overcome. You read in Revelation 12:11, we overcome, of course, by the blood of Jesus, but also by our testimony, by claiming that and proclaiming the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, folks, phone lines open, 307-745-5913. If you have a comment or you want to give a call. Got a little Mike Platt J song this morning, and we'll do that again, folks. Phone lines are open, 307-745-5913, and guys, hold on, we'll be back right after this.
It's like dying, a slow, painful death. It can take the very life out of someone, right down to their last breath. Yet with your hand and mine, in the darkest of times, love light shine right straight through. My life wasn't worth living, Lord, until the day I found you. My life wasn't worth living, Lord, until the day I found you.
ever known that kind of love that's faithful and true. Oh, I've had my good times, and I've had my bad times, and all those times when I was so blue. Yeah, my life wasn't worth living, Lord, until the day I found you.
Ooh, gotta like Mike Platt, Jay. Folks, we have those two Mike Platt J CDs. If you're interested, if you like this kind of music, and we've got them both available for, I think, a $20 offering, we'll send you both of them. And there's 8 or 9 songs on each one, and along the lines of this one. Hope you like it. Mike was loved the Lord, and boy, he could pick that guitar. Well, guys, we've got Dennis on the line from Connecticut. Dennis, how are you doing today? Thanks for calling.
I'm doing great, Richard. I'm doing great. Hello, Jason. Hello, John. How are you?
Good,
thank you.
Doing great. I've been listening to you guys today, and I've been thinking about you. I haven't called in a while, but I just want to talk about some of the good things that have been happening to me. I guess I was one of those Judeo-Christians for years, and I guess I was kind of angry because, I don't know, I just didn't have good luck in life. And in 2009, I found Scriptures for America. I actually got to talk to Pastor Peters on the phone twice, and didn't think I needed to be baptized. But in June of 2012, I came out to Branson, and my life has changed since then. I look around, and I see all these things are happening today. I see a lot of people that I know who have lost their jobs. I just heard of a story yesterday. Somebody I knew, he's going to prison for a very, very long time. Thought he could live his life without the Lord. But, you know, I see all these things happening, and I've noticed that since I've been baptized, my luck, if you can call it that, has changed. I'll give you a really good example. I thought 2 weeks ago, it was on a Tuesday, I thought I was 100% certain I was having a heart attack. My brother, who's 8 years younger than me, had to have a stent put in July, and he had a 70% blockage in one of his arteries. So heart disease runs in the family. I won't bore you with my cholesterol numbers, but they're very high. I don't take the medications they prescribe. I've been taking alternative meds for years. And I went to the hospital, and they, you know, chest pain, all that stuff. And when I got in there, I had the stress test, and the nurse told me in advance, you know, everybody has blockages, so be prepared. And I was having pain. I was upset. So anyway, I took the test, and even though my cholesterol was still slightly elevated, I have no blockages at all, zero. That in itself is truly amazing. It's a miracle, but I attribute that to, you know, I know there was a curse that was broken on my life when I was baptized in June of 2012, kind of separated from my family, so to speak. They're all Catholics, and they're not changing. Anyway, I just wanted to call in and say if there was anybody out there who was listening, if they're on the fence about, you know, should they get baptized or not. You know, as Pastor Peters always said, you know, it's not about raising your hand, you know. It's about conversion and salvation. You know, you repent, and then you're baptized. And if I had never been baptized, I don't know where I'd be. But, you know, I'm thankful for this ministry. You know, I'm thankful for John taking over as leader. I pray for you guys every day. And anyway, I just wanted to call in, tell you how things are going.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dennis.
Yeah, Dennis, thank
you. You're welcome. Have a great day, guys. Bye-bye.
Okay, God bless.
Yeah, that's a great testimony. I was, last week, you know, I brought that message on the different levels of rewards in heaven, and one of the things I brought out in there was if you're serious, you know, then these things that we should be doing, one is to share the truth that we've been privileged to learn, you know, join a local Bible study, or, you know, at least try to share the truth. And the lady in the local church, her husband got a hold of me, and he just said, well, I just wanted you to know that that message that you brought last week really inspired my wife, and she was invited to a women's Bible study, and she wasn't going to go. And then after that message, she felt on fire about it, and she went, and she brought the book, The Greatest Love Story Never Told. And may not want to start out with the Israel truth when you end up in the, you know, in a Bible study, but God bless her for being willing to just stand on the truth and bring that truth to other people. And she asked her husband, she said, well, you know, I know I'm not supposed to teach and stuff. Well, you're not teaching if you're sharing. I mean, I think that's the big thing. She's not there trying to teach a group about the Bible. She's sharing the truth that was given to her. But the good news is that she's been struggling for quite some time as well about baptism. And latest I heard was this Sunday that she's made that commitment. She understands that she needs to be baptized for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. Go into that watery grave, be clothed with Christ, come up out of that water, born again of the water and the Spirit, white as snow, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and have her name entered into the Lamb's Book of Life. So, praise Jesus.
Amen. Amen. And you know, folks, like John's saying, that to go to a Bible study, or to go to a prayer breakfast, or to, you know, to go to a local church, if they, you know, have something at a time where you have some time available, you don't have to go in with a baseball bat, or like John said, you know, starting with the Anglo-Israel message and shouting that from the rooftops. But you can go in, as the Bible says, with a little with your speech seasoned with a little salt. A little bit of salt, a little bit of truth, and you can ask questions, and, you know, put forth the effort, plant the seeds. We don't plant mighty oaks, we plant acorns, you plant seeds, and then it grows from there. But do that, look around in your area. We've had reports, I think, of our brother Zach, out in Michigan, that's been able to do that very thing. And I don't mean to slight anybody else, but I know there's many others that are doing the same thing, that are taking time and going to prayer meetings and at other churches, and going to Bible studies and to breakfast meetings and things like that, to remind and to put forth. Well, you know, what about, you know, doesn't the Bible talk about sin? Doesn't the Bible define sin? And like you had said, John, you brought up that, I still get a chuckle. You mentioned at the prayer breakfast that you go to with the men, that the term Baal came up. And, you know, we are privileged to have been under the tutelage and under the teaching of a pastor that taught biblical truth. Not everybody is like that, and people don't understand the Bible. And John, I think you mentioned one time that, yeah, the men there heard about the term Baal, and weren't they like, well, isn't that just another term for God? And these are church going men.
False God.
Yeah, church going men, that and that's kind of a big thing, you know. I mean, the whole first half of the Bible warns us against Baal, and tells us what Baal is if you'll go read it. But if you don't read it, you don't know. You know, if you don't read it, you don't know. And people don't do that. And so even something as simple as that might, you know, hey, it plants a seed. It plants a seed where the whole crew might not turn and do that, but you know, somebody will. Somebody will. It'll hit somebody. That there'll be somebody of that remnant there. Well, man, what does that mean? Let me look that up. Or it might be, I don't believe what he said. I don't believe that. I'm going to go look it up and see. That's just whatever. But see, if it gets them into the Word, if it gets them drawing closer, if it gets them praying, Lord, show me, then, you know, that's a fertile ground. That's going to be good fruit that comes from that seed planted. It really is. Guys, let's try the phone line again. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Mike from Virginia. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, Mike.
How you guys doing?
We're doing well, Mike. How are you in Virginia today?
Good. How are you, Mike?
Just fine. I'm kind of a windy day up here, but I could lose you. I'm kind of in a bad spot. But what I did was I counted off the days from August the 21st, starting with the 22nd, and the 70th day was October the 30th, and the very next day was the Halloween. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Hmm.
What do you think?
Yeah, the days are there. You know, when you look at this this star alignment, this Revelation 12:1 star alignment coming on the 23rd of September, that is an interesting time. You know, I know our pastor used to talk about, you know, being close, hand shoes or hand grenades and horseshoes and sometimes these signs that come. But you look at September, there's a 91st day on the 17th and 18th of September, and that's just literally 5 weeks after this solar eclipse. And then, you know, the when you read about the Feast of Trumpets, that occurs later toward the end of that week. And then the 23rd, which is the following Saturday, you see this Revelation 12:1 alignment in the stars. And so, you know, knowing that the calendar we use today is somewhat different than the calendar that they use in the Bible, you know, solar versus lunar and all that comes into play. But and then that September time, that week after, you know, of course, September 11th is a day of infamy here in this country again. And with the 91st day, just a week after that, and then this alignment.
Yes.
Yes, there's some interesting times approaching, and they are all kind of coming together there within that week or 10 days, just a few short weeks after this eclipse.
Well, you know, they've always had an October surprise, and perhaps our Lord's got one for them on their high holy day.
Yes.
So,
amen.
That sure gives us something to pray about. It does, and to pray against, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. We'll definitely look into that a little deeper, too. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right, fellas. Have a great day.
Thanks, Mike.
God bless you.
You too. Yeah. So I wanted to share something else that happened in the Bible study this week I thought was interesting. We take for granted the things that our pastor taught us, I think, and we have such an opportunity to share these things, and I had an opportunity to share another truth that all of us take for granted. But basically, one of the men had got a ticket outside of town in a town called Greeley that is pretty much Hispanic. I mean, it's, you know, I don't know, 70% maybe overrun by Hispanics. But anyways, he'd gone to court on the ticket because he had his proof of insurance on his phone, and where he got pulled over was outside of town, and he couldn't bring it up on his phone. So the cop wrote him a ticket, and if he appeared with the proof of insurance, then that charges would be dropped. But so he's sitting in court. He wants to meet with the DA, and literally he said 80 to 90% was Hispanic in there. Well, they come up in front of the court, and they say, because of the restriction of time for the interpreter, we're going to go through all the Hispanic cases first. So he's sitting there for 3 hours waiting for this stack of Hispanic cases to go through before he gets in. He's getting, you know, irate. And just because the interpreter's time was limited. And I said to him, I said, have you ever read Deuteronomy 28:43? And he says, I don't know. What is it? And I said, well, let's read it, shall we? So we looked it up and it said, the alien who is among you shall rise above you higher and higher, but you will go down lower and lower, And you could just see, like, a light went on in his head and everybody else around that table. Like, they never heard it before. Like, they never understood it before. And I keep telling them, you guys need to read Deuteronomy 28. The first 15 verses are all the blessings that God promised that he would bestow upon his people if we but keep his commandments, his statutes, and his laws. 16 through 68 are the curses. And right now, we're deep into that curse phase.
Yes.
Now, does that mean that it can't be reversed? No, it doesn't mean that it can't be reversed. What it takes, though, is my people who are called by my name humbling themselves and praying and seeking his face and turning from their wicked ways. Repentance.
Yes.
That's what it takes to reverse the curse.
Yes. Yeah, and I think when you explain to people like that, they start to see that this Bible is a story. That Jesus is not just a character. He's not just a standalone superhero character, but so much more. That there's a story here that the people aren't taught. They aren't taught that in the Judeo-Christian church world. They aren't taught those truths. Well, guys, we are out of time. That hour just flew by. We want to invite you to church tomorrow. Folks, you can join us at scripturesforamerica.org at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time. That's 9:30 Central and 10:30 on the East Coast. And we'll start off with a scriptural review of the news. We'll have a blessed Holy Spirit-inspired message from our pastor. And John, I'm hoping you're continuing on with the Courts of Heaven series. I'm hoping so anyway, because those have been very interesting. And folks, we'll have some praise and worship music, and you can have fellowship, and we will partake of communion. So we invite you to come to church with us and do that very thing. And again, you can join us at the website right there on the live video stream, scripturesforamerica.org. If you want to join us in person, maybe just give us a call, let us know. That makes all the difference in the world if you're going to join us there in person. And so, well, guys, thanks so much. And, hey, we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Country stolen, keep on rolling over Snake High. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting at the end of our ride.